If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
Doesn't know what to do with himself when he has to put on pants.
I had to put on pants yesterday. It was so cold. Hello.
Hello to you.
What is in the wind?
Well, so I'm going to tell you, we have a lot of things to get to on the program today. You started with Shinedown. That's one of your favorite artists.
Top five, without a question.
Like whatever song that was.
That was 365.
I forgot to tell you that over the holiday, you know, we're trying to move into experiences, not things, right?
Right.
And I opened a flat envelope. And my first thought was, is this concert tickets? You know how much I love 49 Winchester, but we're going to see them over Valentine's Day in Wichita. I am one of the last women in the whole of this universe that has not seen the smash Broadway hit Hamilton.
I've never seen it.
And I'm embarrassed.
Why?
To say that because it's been to Kansas City now twice, and I'm like, for whatever reason, both times I couldn't get around to it. I don't have the money to fly to New York and watch anything on Broadway. Johnny gifted me two incredible seats to go see Hamilton at the Kauffman Center.
Oh.
Hamilton is coming, folks, late February. And so all the way down to Lebanon, we started listening to the soundtrack because my son has gone to see it.
I have it on CD if
yes,
you want to borrow it.
I would love to borrow it, Scott, because what Jack said to me was, it is so incredible, but you will wish that you know the music before you go. Because it's...
Do you want to borrow the CD? I would love it.
It's a double CD.
Yep,
it's very fast-paced, but I'm sure in the double CD there's information about it, mm-hmm. and, you know, forgot that Mr. Burr took out Mr. Hamilton, and it's
Aaron Burr.
Aaron, as it was. And so that was one of my...
That was a duel.
...experiences. The duel. And, you know, there's a whole song about the duel, and I think, you know... We don't duel anymore.
I believe Aaron Burr was the vice president.
Yeah.
And Alexander Hamilton was the treasury secretary.
We've only gotten through 23 of the 46 songs. I mean, there's a lot of songs, and I love me a good musical. So
can you imagine?
I cannot wait. No, I cannot.
If in today's day and age.
You want a duel?
The vice. And I don't know what it was, who insulted whom, but somebody insulted someone.
Yeah.
And they said, you know what? Let's take this out as a duel. And Aaron Burr fatally shot Alexander Hamilton.
Did they really walk however many paces?
Like 10 paces.
In the campaign, it says Burr's character was savagely attacked by Hamilton and others. And after the election, Burr resolved to, quote, restore his reputation by challenging Hamilton to a duel or an affair of honor, as it was known back then.
Let me see here. When it became clear that Thomas Jefferson would drop Burr from his ticket in the 1804 election, Burr ran for governor of New York instead. He lost that election to little-known Morgan Lewis. Blah, blah, blah. Burr blamed his loss on a personal smear campaign believed to have been orchestrated by his party rivals.
Do you know how many politicians would be dead if we went back to the duel for smear campaigns? We wouldn't have any politicians left.
Don't get me excited.
Risky.
Dangerous.
The duel, by the way, July 11th, 1804, the culmination of a bitter rivalry. It is one of the most famous duels in American history. Hamilton was shot in the abdomen.
Huh.
Hamilton's shot hit a tree branch above and behind Burr's head. Anyway, cannot wait.
That was one
of my favorite gifts this holiday season. We're going to Hamilton.
All right. What do we have coming up in 3 o'clock?
Okay. So
this is a big one.
This is huge, you guys. And anytime there is a cold case solved involving such lengthy, decades-long, phenomenal police work, we are going to shine a light on that. The case that they have solved happens to be out of Lawrence. The man arrested a couple of days ago by the Missouri Highway Patrol, happens to have connections in Raytown and Missouri and is believed to be a current resident of Raytown.
He's about to become a current resident of Douglas County.
It is a horrible case. We're going to play a little bit of the news conference. It is without a doubt, Scott, this man now in his 50s, I believe, is a child sexual predator. He is alleged to have gone back to the same park in Lawrence twice a long time ago. First known case, back in 2000. Second known case at the same park in Lawrence was in 2003. But I'm here to tell you, with an offender like this, if you believe there are only two cases with two now adult survivors, you know that that's not true, Scott. You know it.
The park is, for those of you familiar with Lawrence, it's to the southeast of 23rd in Iowa. There's a Texas Roadhouse, steakhouse, whatever.
It's Naismith Park.
And it's right behind all those businesses on the east side of Iowa, south of 23rd.
So one of the things, Chief Lockhart's going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour because we have so many questions. You hear us talk about genealogical DNA databasing, and there is a new FBI unit now dedicated just to finding the bad apple in your family tree, and that is how this case was cracked. And if you play just a little bit of the beginning, he actually talks about why this takes such a long time, how expensive it is just to test some of this DNA. But in the end, in this case, it worked.
He is in a place where he will not ever be able to hurt another child. This case began August 25th, 2000, when officers were called about 7:45 p.m. to investigate a sexual assault that occurred at Naismith Valley Park, 1400 West 27th Street in Lawrence, Kansas. Three kids were riding their bikes on a path in the park when they were approached by a male. The kids were 7 and 8 years old, two boys and a girl. The male asked the kids to help him find something, offering them $20 to help. The male asked the kids to help him find something, and one of the kids rode home and contacted his father, telling him about the man. The path is only a short distance from their home, and the father immediately ran down the path, yelling for his daughter. He located her in a wooded area, and she told him she had been sexually assaulted. The victim reported the man was smoking a cigarette and provided a description of the man. Two detectives, including retired Detective Mike McAtee, searched the area where the assault took place and located cigarette butts, one of which was still smoldering. Unknown to the officers at the time, these cigarette butts would become key pieces of evidence. A DNA profile was obtained from a cigarette butt, and it was entered into CODIS on November 16th, 2000.
So they enter the DNA into CODIS way, way back when. There's no match, which tells you what, Scott. There's no match.
It means he's not been arrested
in the database.
Before.
He has not been arrested for a violent crime or a violent crime against a person before.
A felony, yeah.
I will remind you, this was almost 26 years ago.
Now, DNA evidence did exist at the time.
It did.
But if you don't have a match, there's nothing you can do.
And we'll let him fill in some of the blanks on this when he calls in the 3 o'clock hour. So the initial assault, and thank God that little boy ran home. As soon as the guy said, I'll give you $20, come help me find my puppy, one of the little boys ran to go get his dad.
Good.
It wasn't in time to stop what happened to the little girl. Dad gets there, cigarette still smoldering. 3 years later, two little boys are riding their bikes in the same park in 2003.
We never received a hit on that DNA profile. On May 23rd, 2003, at 6:49 p.m., we were called to investigate a sexual assault that occurred in Naismith Valley Park. In this case, two 10-year-old boys were riding their bikes in Naismith Valley Park when they were approached by a man who asked them to help find something, offering them $20. The man sent the boys in different directions, and when he had one of the boys out of the sight of the other, he sexually assaulted him. When the man was done, the 10-year-old victim found his friend, and they both went home to tell the victim's father what happened. Sexual evidence was collected and was submitted to the KBI for testing, and on September 10, 2015, the DNA profile was obtained and entered into CODIS. On January 4, 2016, we were informed by the KBI of a match discovered between the DNA profiles from these two cases.
So they know the DNA now matches. I mean, come on, similar description, guys offering $20, same park, 3 years apart.
Same MOS.
Same exact mode of operation here, okay? There's still no match in CODIS. There's a match between those two crime scenes, there's still no match in CODIS. And one of the things we're going to talk about coming up is how and why it takes so long to catch some of these offenders who aren't in the system. They have to do a lot of old-fashioned detective work, and now they have to do DNA analysis work.
What you need is a relative who says, you know what? I wonder where I come from.
Yep.
I'm going to do 23andMe or Ancestry.com. Then, and only then, do you get the hit that you really need.
When we come right back, we're not going to give all of the story away yet. This man is behind bars. I bet you today, as they should be, all of the surrounding agencies are looking back at their cold cases. Mm-hmm. For there is no way there's only these two groups of victims, Raytown, Kansas City, and Lawrence. And when we come back, Scott, a stunning revelation about the sex offender's origin of birth that I'll tell you about straight ahead.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright. Jason, hi. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
So we will visit with the Lawrence Police Chief coming up at 3:15. But there's a major case that they have solved involving some sexual assaults against young people. One was 7, the other was 10.
Kids riding their bikes, Scott.
Dating back to 2000 and 2003. Rich Lockhart will join us at 3:15 this afternoon. But you said that there's an interesting, bizarre, extraordinary twist in this story.
So after the two assaults, for decades, they're trying to figure out who this man is. He's not in the CODIS database. He's never been arrested for a violent crime. They go to the genealogy side of things with the help from the FBI and a company that specializes in helping law enforcement with DNA samples to figure out who in your family tree is the rapist, right? Mm-hmm. And they find a 100% match to the suspect's mother. Birth mother in this case. Because think about it. Your mom on that family tree is up here at 100%, and mm-hmm. you below are at 50%. You are 50% of your mother.
Right.
Through the DNA technology, they find his mom. She's out of state. They travel to go speak with her to find out who is your child. Who is this person who has this DNA that has offended these children? And they sit down with her, and she says, I'm not sure where he is. I put him up for adoption. She says, I know who the birth parents are, and I'm happy to provide you that name. Keep in mind.
You mean adoptive parents,
Adoptive parents. I'm birth mom. I know who the adoptive parents are. I'm happy to provide you with their name. So you're starting to see now how this case, it took years. They were able to finally get their guy. They say to her, give us your story. Like what happened? Why did you give this child up for adoption? She got pregnant, Scott, at age 14, 15, very, very young. Hmm. The suspect in this case was the product of a rape.
Hmm. Hmm.
So she says to detectives, I don't know where he is. I was a teenage mom, pregnant mother,
right,
who was raped. I gave up this baby for adoption.
Who allegedly went on to rape young children.
There would be no way, Scott, unlikely. It would be highly unlikely that as he is adopted and moving through life, anyone says to him or that his adoptive parents would even know,
right,
that, hey, by the way, violence brought you into this world. And, you know, I believe in personal responsibility. I'm not bringing this up because, oh, poor me. Look at what happened to this, you know, this man was born of trauma. Plenty of people are born out of trauma and don't go on to victimize children.
That's right.
But can you imagine the look on the detective's face when she said, here's his adoptive mom and dad. Mm-hmm. I was sexually assaulted. I don't know where he is or who he is. And this is the life that he's alleged to have led.
So she gives them the name,
yep,
of the adoptive parents.
And bingo.
And they just start working their way down.
Because they could never find a connection through the DNA to Lawrence, Kansas. Everyone lived out of state. Well, there was no connection because he was placed up for adoption.
I'm telling you, you know, this whole 23andMe.
Well, and the detective work involved, sure. Scott. My God.
And we'll talk about that with the police chief in the 3 o'clock hour. But this 23andMe, Ancestry.com, originally I thought this is an invasion of people's privacy. Mm-mm. I don't think that anymore. This is a game changer. It really is. It's not my fault that your cousin
or your aunt
went and did 23andMe.
Or your mom. Anyone in your family tree does 23andMe and you're a rapist, it's over.
Yep.
It's over as soon as they put the resources into it. Keep in mind, she was happy to talk to police.
Yeah.
She said, look, I don't know who this guy is. And from there, they then figure out, yep, we have this adopted, now adult man who has lived in Raytown and Kansas City, Missouri, and at one point lived in Lawrence.
So let me answer this question from the text line. You said the second incident occurred in 2003. There was a DNA match in 2015. Why the delay? No. Understand this. What they realized in 2015 was that the 2000 case and the 2003 case were related. It was the same person.
It was the same DNA.
What they didn't know is who that person was. Yeah. Therein lies the delay.
And keep in mind, this involved the KBI that had to test the samples. It involved the FBI because of the genealogy. You still have to have the detective work. So they get a name. All right.
But they didn't get a name until recently.
It happened quickly, Scott, once they got a name.
Once somebody, I believe mom, birth mom in, yep, this case, did a 23andMe or, yep, genealogy.com or whatever.
Somebody.
Yeah. So they knew in Texter, it's a great question, appreciate it. In 2015, they knew that the 2000 and 2003 cases were related.
Yep.
Same person responsible. What they didn't know is who is this person.
Right.
Until mom goes and does 23andMe.
Somebody in the family. It might not have even been mom. It could have been anyone along that family tree.
I thought you said there was a 100% hit on mom.
Well, it's always going to be statistically your birth mom and or dad. You will be 50% of both. Mm-hmm. So if anyone on that tree does that genealogy database thing, they don't know you're a rapist. They go and do it. I'm curious. You know, am I of Nordic ancestry? You know, they just do it to do it. Mm-hmm. And then that tree, they shake the tree. And out starts popping all of these rapists, Scott. And I just wrote this on social. Tick, tock.
Yeah.
You know what that sound is? That is the sound of all of this technology catching up to these men.
Good. Good.
And I'm telling you, hats off to the Lawrence Police Department. Because then you've got to go do the police work. You've got the cigarette butt. You've got to track him down. You've got to get a swab from him. And guess what?
The
swab matches. I mean, come on.
The cigarette butt is a huge... Listen, I'm not a champion for criminals, but throwing down cigarettes at a crime scene, that is a huge, huge mistake.
The question then becomes, Scott, where did this man work? Where did this man live? Really, where did he live? Mm-hmm. Where are the parks around the spaces where he lived? And are we more careful with our children today? I would have said in 2000 we were careful. I watched my kids like a hawk, as did these kids' parents. There's a point in this interview where Chief Lockhart says, look, these kids were just riding their bikes. You should be allowed to go on a walk with your friends.
One thing to keep in mind, these kids were doing something we all did as kids, riding their bikes in a park. Something they should have been able to do without being violently sexually assaulted by a sexual predator. It took us more than 2 decades to finally find him and put him in a place where he can't hurt other children. I hope this arrest provides some measure of comfort to these survivors. While we do not have any evidence of additional victims, it is likely there are other cases out there, and we hope this investigation will help locate those other cases. I want to thank several people who are responsible for this outcome. First, Detective Amy Price, to my immediate right, who worked tirelessly on this case and never gave up hope of solving it. Next to her, Detective Megan Bardwell, for her assistance in helping getting the case across the finish line. I also want to recognize retired Detective Mike McAtee, who I think is here today, for his...
All of those detectives, one now retired. Keep in mind, Scott, a lot of these cases, the detectives, they retire.
Right.
It doesn't matter if they have the DNA.
And this is one thing I want to ask Chief Lockhart. How do you determine which cold cases you try to warm back up? My heart is full, but also breaking for my youngest daughter, Maya. She's double majoring in aviation and Spanish, and just spent 3 weeks in Peru with her classmates from UCM. And they built a greenhouse. They did work with kids, all this stuff. And I just looked at Life 360. Maya is at the airport. And I didn't think she was coming home until tomorrow. She's not. But she's already at the airport. These poor kids are in for 22 hours of travel. Because I wrote to her. I said, I see you're at the airport. I thought you weren't coming home until tomorrow. She says, we have a flight at 5 o'clock. It lands around 8. Then our American flight is at 12:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
I wrote, holy...
She's young. Young people can do that.
I go, what time do you get to Kansas City? 3 o'clock tomorrow. That
tomorrow.
Is 22 hours of travel.
Do you want to see the world or not? You know? You want to see the world or not?
She's a lucky kid. Did you hear about the radio station in Goodland? KLOE AM 730 on your...
K-L-O.
K-L-O 730 on your AM dial. Apparently, the windstorm that blew through on December 17th and 18th was so strong, 80-mile-per-hour winds,
oh God,
blew over their tower. Ultimately, additional wind gusts on late Saturday night into Sunday caused the tower to shift. It was already on the ground, and it fell.
Oh, gosh.
KLOE, 730 in Goodland, Kansas, is off the air permanently.
Oh no.
They're not going to rebuild.
Two words, self-insured, which I know is hyphenated, but a lot of these stations are self-insured and it's probably too costly to put the tower back up.
The station is going silent after more than 75 years on the air. They first went on the air in 1948. They're going to continue their most popular show, the Good Neighbor Hour, which airs from 5:30 in the morning to 7 a.m. Mountain Time on KKCI Rocket 102.5.
Oh.
Well, I mean,
I've always looked up at those towers and wondered, and not ours specifically, which houses all the birds that poop on our cars, but you know, you see these gigantic structures everywhere with the cables and you wonder, okay, like, and we had 100-mile-an-hour winds in Colorado this last week. Like, how secure are those things?
Well, and this is, you know, not to get too inside of the weeds here, but this is an AM radio station. AM radio is dying.
It is. Those of you screaming, no, it's not. We see the numbers.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. I can't even get AM in my car.
Really?
No. In fact, there was a time, I don't know, a couple months ago.
See, my car is a 2018, I think, 17.
You still got an AM dial?
So I still have an AM dial, but I can't remember the last time I turned it on.
We were a couple of months ago somewhere on the road, and I thought, okay, there's nothing to listen to. I think the KU game's on, or the K-State game, whatever it was. And we were in my car, and Johnny said, it's not going to be on the fan. Check whatever AM station is in Manhattan, or whatever AM station
like
would...
K-Man is in Manhattan.
Yes, or in Lawrence. I started looking. There was no mechanism for me to do that.
Hmm. That's incredible. You know what I couldn't get?
Doesn't that signal travel further, too?
Sometimes it can. Yeah, like KOAI, I think it is, in San Antonio,
yeah,
has an overnight signal. Everybody else has to power down. They don't.
Yeah.
And I think it's KOAI in San Antonio. You can get that AM signal in Kansas City in the middle of the night.
It cuts through the noise.
Yes.
Literally.
I remember when I used to be the news director here, which meant I had to be here at like 4 o'clock in the morning. I would get in my car at 3:30 in the morning, drive into work, and I would just get on the AM dial and just start scrolling.
Yeah.
Right? And I would get stations out of San Antonio, Columbus, Ohio, Chicago, Denver. That AM signal can penetrate at night when everybody else has to power down.
Right.
And then it just opens the airwaves, if you will.
Do you remember what your mom or your grandma listened to as a kid? Because my God, I do. On the transistor radio, my grandmother listened. Dorothy, WREN. And remember, there was an actual WREN.
That's a Topeka station.
In Topeka.
Yes.
I don't know whatever happened to that WREN, but there was this big old bird. WREN.
Yes,
I still remember listening to that. I don't know that they played country, because they weren't country music listeners. But there would be like a word of the day. I mean, not that stations don't do this today, but there would be some word of the day, and she would have a little notepad, and she'd be sitting there crocheting. She just crocheted and baked and cooked for all of us and was the most decent human being that ever walked the earth. And she would write down the new code word, and then she'd cross that one out if someone called in. And she'd write down the... I don't think she ever called into the station. She just wrote down the code words.
The mighty 590.
Mighty 590.
WREN.
No, it was... WREN.
They are now on an FM band. They're still around. They play oldies.
Which were not oldies that we called. Back then, oldies, it was like Frank Sinatra. Today, they're like, we play the oldies, Billy Joel.
Here comes some Daryl Hall and John Oates. Oldies.
Which, if you missed it yesterday, did you guys hear that Phil Collins posted on his like official, you know, social media pages that if you start In the Air Tonight, like one of his obviously biggest hits,
probably his biggest,
on New Year's Eve at like
11:56:20.
Yeah,
11:56:40
p.m. and 56 minutes and 40 seconds. Mm-hmm. That's when you have to start In the Air Tonight. As the ball drops, you will hear the Phil keeping it relevant. I love it.
No, I remember when I was a kid, and this is where my love of radio first started. I can't remember the station, but we lived in Fort Hood, Texas. And this is so embarrassing. There was a gal who lived, I was 11 years old, and there was a gal who lived across the street who was in college, but her dad was a colonel, maybe a general. And she would come home during the summer. Her name was Ann Kirchhoff. And I have no idea what ever became of Ann Kirchhoff. But I had my first crush on Ann Kirchhoff because she was a lifeguard at the Officers Club swimming pool.
Wait, she was a lifeguard slash...
What?
Wait a minute. What does this have to do with radio?
I'm going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
I had my first crush on Ann Kirchhoff, and she would come home from college. She went to Baylor.
Yeah.
And she was a lifeguard at the Officers Club pool.
Okay.
Which is where me and my friends went to swim all the time. And I would get home and I would call a radio station. And no.
Oh, I hear where this is going.
Where's it going?
I thought you were going to say she was an intern. Did you call and dedicate a song to her?
Every night. And it was usually Conway Twitty's tight-fitting jeans. I'm not kidding. And I would listen to, I would sit by that radio and just stare at it, waiting for the DJ to come on and go, and this one's from Scott going out to Ann. Conway Twitty's.
This is your long distance dedication.
It wasn't long distance. She lived right across the
street. Oh my gosh. Do you know how many boys were probably doing that at the time? Because every 11, 12 year old boy has a crush on the female lifeguard and vice versa. Mm-hmm.
And I would sit there and listen to that radio. And I thought, wow, the power that I have.
Yeah.
And it was wrong, but this is what I thought at the time, that I can call a radio station. I'm 11 years old. And they're going to play the song that I, and sometimes I would have to wait for an hour.
Oh yeah, you sat, you're not getting up.
No. This one is from Scott, going out to Ann. Here's Conway Twitty's tight-fitting jeans.
You were 11. And I used to go to bed and listen to Delilah. Remember Delilah?
Yes, that is when I knew I wanted to be on the radio.
Delilah, who are you loving on tonight?
Oh my God.
Remember the people would call in and be like, I just going through a tough time and I miss Bill so much. And Bill, if you're listening, I still love you. And then Delilah would go, let me find the perfect song to let Bill know that you still want him in your life.
Is she still around?
Okay, she is. I looked this up like a year ago out of curiosity. We have got to get her on the show because I would go to bed. You talk about the little transistor radio.
Yep.
My grandma had a alarm clock radio, you know, with the little green light on it, and the numbers would flip on these little plastic pieces.
I remember.
And I would go to sleep and she would let me listen to Delilah. And sometimes those calls that came in were pretty heavy, Scott, for a girl of my very young age.
Hearts break, Dan.
Hearts do break. I learned very young that hearts can and will be broken. And I want to have her on the show because if you're my age or older, you remember that.
Her real name is Delilah Reen.
We shall have her on Dana and Barks, and we will ask her, who are you loving tonight?
913-586-7798-58.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
867-798 here on Dana and Parks. I'd like to dedicate this song to Ann Kirchhoff.
Yeah. Conway, you little perv.
Wherever you may be, Ann. I'm going to look her up in one of the breaks.
What you have to do is look up. There are several Conway Twitty songs that I had never heard of.
That are perverted.
Prior to meeting Johnny. And two of them, I do not understand how those were recorded back in the, what, 50s or 60s?
No, this was 70s.
Or put on the radio. One of them is called, I Can Tell You've Never Been This Far Before. And there's a line in that song where he's such a weirdo. He says, I can't tell what you must be thinking as my trembling fingers touch forbidden places.
Okay. All right.
Scott, I swear.
I'm looking it up.
As my trembling fingers touch forbidden places.
Okay.
We're driving. We're on a road trip. And
that's a crime.
I go, what did he just say?
Okay, here it is. And I can feel your body tremble as you wonder what this moment holds in store. And as I put my arms around you, I can tell you've never been this far before. I don't know what I'm saying. As my trembling fingers touch forbidden places. I only know that I've waited for so long for the chance that we are taking.
I'm telling you.
Pervert.
We were on a road trip and I heard Tight Fitting Jeans. We were playing golf. Tight Fitting Jeans came on and I go, what is he saying? And Johnny goes, oh, you ain't heard the worst of it. He goes, listen to this one. And he goes, my mom and a lot of our moms used to love Conway Twitty.
Oh, he was a good-looking guy.
But man, he was an envelope pusher. I mean, with some of those lyrics. There's one about, and this could be considered sweet, as Dan Weinbaum pointed out, or pervy, that no matter what the age of the woman he loves, the name of the song is, I'd Love to Lay You Down. And literally toward the end of the song, he's like, you know, when your hair is gray and it's fallen out, I'd still love to lay you down. I'm like, he is a little perv.
No, I think that one's sweet.
All right, play a little of the other one. Crank it.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. A boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
Hey, all right. And here's the, I can tell you've never been
this far this before. Far. which means I'm your first.
Yeah, which means he's like 40 and she's like, whatever. Well, I didn't want to talk about it.
We don't know that.
He was like 40 years old when he recorded that song.
Sharon in Olathe. Hello, Sharon.
Hey there. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well.
She was in the ministry until age 35 and then decided
out of the nunnery.
I'm not going to be a nun anymore, Sharon.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that because I think they throw you out. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, you're talking about AM radio?
Yeah.
And I have to tell you a story about I grew up in Concordia, Kansas, in North Central Kansas, in that vicinity. And we had a radio station, and I think it still goes today, KNCK. And I can remember my mother and my grandmother standing in front of the radio at noon because, get this, they would announce on the radio the admissions and the dismissals of people from the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I mean to tell you what a lawful thing that would be today. I mean, people.
Did you say KNCK? Is that what you said?
Yes, yep. KNCK.
It is still there.
Yes, I know it is. And the afternoon radio station used to be called Highway Highlights.
Highway Highlights.
Highway Highlights.
And that may still be intact too. I'm not sure, but anyway, I just think about that. I'm 72, so I think that's often when they have that.
I think they refer to that as what's called full service radio, and I can still remember when my career started 30 years ago at KOFO first, and then I went to KLWN in Lawrence, and Hank Booth, may God bless him always, used to do a show from 9 to 10 every day called According to the Record, and he would interview some local bigwig.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the hour, he would literally open up the Lawrence Journal World.
And read it?
And read the obituaries.
No!
and people would tune in to find out if somebody they knew had
gotta
died.
Gotta see if old Marge is still hanging on there. I heard she wasn't doing too well.
And he would say, Marge Smith, born in 1934. Died yesterday at the age of 88.
Keep in mind, he's reading the obituaries that all of our grandparents read faithfully every day
right out
when
of the paper.
When they took the paper.
When
that's
they
how
took
you
the paper.
Do you take the paper?
That's right. And I would sit there because I was the morning anchor, and I would watch Hank Booth, God bless him, sit there and read the obituaries right out of the Lawrence Journal World.
All right, when we get back, we are going to talk about this bombshell announcement. They have solved a cold case in Lawrence involving children, childhood victims from decades ago. And the guy lives right here in Kansas City. Do you have some of that audio that we can let our listeners just listen to a little bit of this? And then we're going to come back and interview Chief Lockhart after the break.
I've got some here. Stand by. Oh.
There it is. And we will talk with Chief Lockhart straight ahead. It is a culmination, Scott, of great police work.
Absolutely.
And the same technology, by the way, that led to the capture of the Golden State serial rapist. It's that same genealogy, DNA database technology coupled with the police work it took to find him.
All right. We will get with the police chief coming up in just a moment. Dana Wright. That guy over there is Jason High, our producer. He's filling in for Sam. Sam has not been fired. Sam returns next week.
That's not what I thought.
Oh, maybe he has been fired. I don't know. Sam returns next Monday. He's taking some much-needed time off. My name is Scott Parks. We will see you on the other side of the news.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.